For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Well, the 2025 NCAA tournament is all set. The brackets are here. I'm Pete Mundo. Heartland College Sports is where you find us and follow us, hopefully, covering the Big 12. Make sure you're subscribed to the channel on YouTube and on the podcast. And we are being joined by a guy who is fresh off of a few days in Kansas City, bleary-eyed but ready to break down the bracket with us, Matthew Postens, of course, from Heartland College Sports. Matthew, welcome in, my man. Let's just get your immediate reaction to seven teams in the dance versus the eight that we all expected. You're laughing.
Do we need to spend the first five minutes talking about West Virginia? I have not found a single person outside of a person that went to North Carolina who believes that North Carolina should be in the tournament over West Virginia. And that was the decision the committee faced. They've been very clear about that. It was North Carolina against West Virginia. All three of the pieces of logic that they've provided to us, to me, are ridiculous. The most ridiculous being invoking Tucker DeVries into this, who's been out for 3 months, and saying that player availability was a factor in this. They actually have more quad one wins without him than North Carolina has, period. I've been thinking about it all day, trying to figure out if there was a more universally derided choice in the bracket since I've been covering the Big 12 for 8 years, and I can't think of one.
It may be the biggest snub in NCAA tournament history. I mean, it might be when you break down the numbers that, you know, you've talked about that we've seen quad one wins. I mean, I've never seen one where there's 111 bracket experts that look at this stuff and all 111 had West Virginia in. Yeah. It's just nuts.
And to be clear, North Carolina, West Virginia, and even Indiana, include them in the conversation because they've been part of this too. All three of them are bubble teams. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the discussion here. The discussion is against North Carolina and West Virginia because that the committee said those were the two teams we were deciding between.
Yep.
West Virginia's resume, it, by a blind test, is better than North Carolina's, period. It just is by every metric. Even the two metrics they invoked to explain why North Carolina got in over West Virginia, which was Torvik and wins above bubble, basically a draw. West Virginia's Torvik rating is 2 points better. North Carolina's WAB rating is 1 point better. I mean, that's negligible, you know, statistically speaking. So it's baffling. I don't blame West Virginia for not accepting the invitation to any other tournament, although they've already got one kid headed to the portal. So that's probably part of the reason why.
Yeah.
The governor is unhappy. He wants to sue. It's not going to do any good because North Carolina is going to the first four. But
I know.
Yeah, it's just, when Chris Russo, who doesn't know anything about basketball, is complaining about it, you know, they got it bad.
Yep. You're right about that. You're right about that. Well, let's get to the seven teams that are in this thing. Let's start in the Midwest. That's where the Big 12 has its lone number one seed. We all expected Houston. They draw one seed in the Midwest. They're taking on Southern Illinois, Edwardsville, in their opening round 116 game. I'll tell you what, Matthew, I overall like the draw for Houston, but that second game against Gonzaga, if they do draw Gonzaga, actually could be their toughest road to a Final Four. I know you're looking down, you're maybe seeing Tennessee and Kentucky, but that Gonzaga team seeded at an eight when I was looking at some of their KenPom stuff, and I mean, it's right up there. They are the best eight seed by a mile in this tournament based on all the rankings and the advanced analytics. I couldn't believe it. That's a tough spot for Houston in the second round, potentially. What do you make of that draw?
Yeah, it's a potential stumbling block. I saw them early in the year when they played a Big 12 team, and you know, aside from the analytics, they passed the eye test. They've got a really good team. They've got height. They've got great guard play. They don't turn the ball over too much, which is something Houston obviously wants you to do defensively. You know, it's a stumbling block game. Plus, Gonzaga, I think, has a 9-year streak of reaching the Sweet 16, if I recall. So there's motivation for them to get to the Sweet 16 and get past this game. You know, I wouldn't rule out Georgia beating them. Georgia is a good team, and I think Georgia would actually be a better matchup for Houston than Gonzaga. But I do think Houston gets to the Sweet 16, and then beyond that, you know, I feel like they can beat any other team in that bracket, including Tennessee on the other side. Clemson, I think, is a team they can beat. I felt like when the draw came out and I saw the whole bracket, I said to myself, that's a pretty good draw for the team that is considered to be the number three overall seed in the tournament.
That's exactly where I'm at. I like Houston to get to a Final Four. I just think that this team is firing on all cylinders right now. They've learned from last year. They're a year older, year more mature. I think they know they left something on the table last year as well. I mean, we saw them in Kansas City last week. They seem hyper-focused. They're basically 22-1 in Big 12 play with their one loss by 1 point to Texas Tech in overtime.
Yeah,
I don't know what more you can ask for, man. I mean, I think that of all these teams in the Big 12, if one of them, I mean, and I know it's easy to say this because Houston's a number one seed, but I really would be surprised if this team doesn't go pretty far, even though I think that second round game could be sneakier and tougher than some people expect.
Yeah, and I think the one X factor for them, obviously, is Juwan Roberts. He says he'll be ready. He says he's healthy. He says he's ready to go. As long as he's healthy and effective, you know, he's going to be a big differentiator for them in the next 3 weeks because, you know, he gives them something offensively that their other two inside guys simply aren't able to do.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right about that. So, listen, there's going to be a lot of chalk, at least when it comes to our picks with Houston. Let's go to the West region. We're going to work our way around the bracket from there. The West regional has two Big 12 teams in it. Texas Tech has the 3 seed. They've got UNC Wilmington and Kansas and Arkansas in a 7-10 matchup. One thing I noted when I saw this bracket come out, Matthew, is you've got this sub-regional in Providence. You've got Bill Self, John Calipari, and Rick Pitino all in the same sub-regional. Have you ever seen anything like that? Three Hall of Fame coaches in a spot like that?
I don't think so. It's almost as if the NCAA just said, hey, how many Hall of Fame coaches can we put in one pod?
Yeah, and the poor coach at Omaha. I don't even know who he is right now. I mean, I can't name him off the top of my head.
Well, this is the coach at Omaha. I don't remember his name either, but this is the guy who uses the trash can in the locker room as motivation.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's this guy.
So he's trash can man.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so, but I think it's the first time in quite some time Omaha's been, and, you know, not a great draw for them getting St. John's, who's red hot right now. But, I mean, I could see Kansas winning that first round game against Arkansas. I mean, Arkansas is getting Boogie Fland back from injury, but he's been on the shelf for a couple of months. So who knows what his conditioning will like. You know, Kansas is really spotty, but you know, if you look at it from the perspective of the Big 12 tournament, they played well the first game, even though they went to overtime against UCF. They didn't play well the second game. So, you know, if they play like they played against UCF, I could see them winning that first round game, but I don't see them getting much farther than that. St. John's is extremely good this year, and they're extremely good on the defensive side of the ball. You know, they've got more than enough people to neutralize what Kansas wants to do offensively. Plus, you've got a guy in that St. John's team, Zubi Ejiofor, who was at Kansas. He's got a lot of motivation to
well, listen, there's a lot of conversation, and I know you've seen this, whether or not they should have basically, and Bill Self should have stayed with that roster with Ejiofor, or gone into the portal and got Hunter Dickinson. It's easy to say in hindsight, you know, what would have made sense.
Yeah.
Most people are saying you don't say no to a 7-2 Hunter Dickinson who wants to come your way, but you have seen Ejiofor develop into one of the best big men in the country. And Rick Pitino is knowing how to use him as he's averaging, you know, nearly a double-double right now.
Yeah, and to add to that, there's no way of knowing how well Ejiofor would have developed it at Kansas as opposed to St. John's. Now, Kansas has had some really good big men over the years while Bill Self has been there. So they're pretty good at developing guys. And yeah, you probably do take the established talent over the young guy that needs room to grow. But 2 years later, you know, Ejiofor is looking like the kind of player that Kansas was hoping he would be, I think probably a little bit earlier than he needed to be.
I'm with you there. Totally with you there. But I agree. I don't think Kansas gets out of the first weekend. They can win this first game against Arkansas, but also if they're one and done, it just doesn't shock me one bit. Yeah. So, people are looking at that side of the bracket, and at least in Kansas City where I'm at, there's a hope for a border war matchup in the Sweet 16. That would take KU winning two games and Missouri as a six seed beating Drake and then beating Texas Tech or UNC Wilmington in that 3-14 matchup. Yeah. I see no way we get a border war in the Sweet 16 because I think that Texas Tech is in a very good spot to win that first game. But I will tell you, Matthew, since we're on this bottom half of the Western bracket or the West regional bracket, we could get an all Big 12 matchup in the Sweet 16, Kansas and Texas Tech. Yeah. I don't think it's all that likely because first off, that second game for Tech, whether they draw Mizzou or they draw Drake, I mean, that is going to be, I think, a slugfest of a game no matter who they get.
Yeah, I would agree. And this sort of breaks a rule with the committee because they really try to do as much as possible to make sure that teams from the same conferences can't meet until at least the Elite Eight. With so many SEC teams in the bracket this year and so many Big Ten teams in the bracket this year, they've sort of had to massage that variable this year. But, you know, when the bracket came out, I really liked Tech's spot, assuming Chance McMillan and Darian Williams can both play, which it sounds like both of them will be able to. And I don't think you're going to need both of them to beat UNC Wilmington, although Wilmington won their conference championship. So they're not a team to overlook. But, you know, I think Tech matches up well with Missouri. I think they match up well with Drake. Because Tech can play through top and inside. They can play through three or four different guards outside. They've got enough, you know, bench strength behind those guys to pick up slack. I mean, you know, without McMillan and without Williams in the semifinal, they still played a great game. I mean, that was a close game up until about the last 4 or 5 minutes of the contest. And, you know, I like them getting to the Sweet 16 and, you know, looking at what they could potentially end up with in the Elite Eight or in the Sweet 16, you know, looking at, you know,
St. John's.
St. John's would be an interesting game because, you know, Toppin is a great forward inside, but he plays a different style than Ejiofor. So, but I like him getting to the second weekend, honestly.
Yeah, I do. I mean, you look at these Big 12 teams, and listen, when you look at all the advanced analytics too, Texas Tech has been wildly underrated this season. I just think the job that Grant McCasland overall has done has been a little bit underappreciated this year. I mean, I went back and I looked at it, and Tech was picked sixth or seventh in the Big 12 preseason poll. They were not expected to be where they're at right now. And I think a lot of that, listen, Houston had the season it had. KU's having an awful down year by their standards. And then Tech's just like, hey, we're here. We were second in the Big 12. And let's see what kind of damage we can do. But you're right. It's a versatile team. They've got the depth that they need to make a run in this thing. And they're certainly capable of doing it. You're right. If there's a Tech St. John's Sweet 16 matchup, that has like all the makings to be one of the games of the tournament.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And, you know, looking back on their preseason ranking, I have to imagine that the coaches vote on that. And I have to imagine they looked at Tech's front court and said, that's the big question mark because Toppin was transferring in and nobody really knew how he was going to adjust to a high major game. And as it turns out, he was the Big 12 player of the year at the end of the season. So that variable is probably the biggest reason why Tech is in the position that it's in.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. Matthew Postens, Pete Mundo, we're here with you on Heartland College Sports. That's where you can find us. As you guys continue to join us here on the show, make sure that you are subscribing to the channel, subscribing to the podcast. And as always, Find us on the website. That's where you can read all our stuff and join the forums. Those are free as well. Interact with other great Big 12 fans. Let's give a shout out to some of the cities you guys are in watching tonight. We got Riverton, Wyoming. I do not know where that one is. Wichita Falls, Texas. Familiar with that one. All right. I said this on the show last week. I said the smallest town wins. I think Chris gets it. Sundown, Texas. I just looked it up. Population 1,200 in Sundown, Texas. So that is just due west of Lubbock, it looks like. Although Gary is in Oklahoma in the boonies, he says, between Cashin and Kingfisher, Oklahoma. Very familiar with both of those places from my time in Woodward. So I don't know. I'll have to pull out the population maps after the show and see who actually wins smallest town watching the show. But either way, we appreciate you guys being here. Garner, Iowa, Cummings, Iowa, New York City. Adam's in New York City. We got Hendersonville, Tennessee. Ron is out there. So thank you, guys. We appreciate you being here. As always, subscribe to the channel.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All right, Matthew, let's go to the South Regional. We have one Big 12 team there. It is Iowa State in the South Regional. And when I look at this bracket and this region, the first thing that stands out to me for Iowa State is the fact that, you know, they have Auburn in their bracket. Auburn's reeling a little bit. They, of course, wouldn't see them until an Elite Eight game. Michigan State, I admit, I don't have a great feel for either way. But there are some roadblocks in the way. I think Marquette could be tricky if they end up meeting them in a Sweet 16 game. What do you see with this draw with Iowa State and what they're looking at as a three seed in the South?
You know, when the bracket first came out and I first looked at the region, I said to myself, you know, this is actually a pretty good path to the second weekend. You know, Lipscomb is a good matchup for them. You know, it's going to be Ole Miss or one of the 11 seeds, which I think potentially could be North Carolina. I think Ole Miss is a good team, but I don't think they're a great team. I think Iowa State matches up well with them as well. So even without Keyshawn Gilbert, I think they can get to the second weekend of the tournament. I think their ceiling is determined by how much and how effective Taman Lipsey is going to be able to be. You know, they proved they've got some depth during the Big 12 tournament when they weren't able to play either one of them in the quarterfinal game. The thing is, I still think this team is built for this kind of a tournament because they play defense so well. You know, against a Texas A&M, they're a really good offensive team. That wouldn't be a matchup they would get till the second weekend. Marquette is kind of built like them. They play really good defense. Michigan State, I feel like this is actually one of Tom Izzo's better coaching jobs, honestly. I'm like you. I don't know a lot about their team either, but I know they weren't highly regarded coming into the season. They had a couple of really bad losses early on. And yep. The fact that they're a number two seed to me is a bit surprising just because, you know, coming in, they just weren't that highly regarded. But I see a path for them to get to the second weekend. I could see them playing either Marquette, Michigan State. Don't rule out New Mexico. Richard Pitino is doing a really good job with the Lobos this year, and they're a really hungry team. They want to be one of those 10 seeds that potentially gets to the second weekend of the tournament. I could even see, under the right circumstances, Iowa State getting to the Elite Eight. I think it's all about, you know, how well Taman Lipsey can play, how much he can play, and how much heat that can take off the rest of the depth on their team.
And the other side of that regional, I mean, I see a world where Auburn has struggled by their standards here the last couple of weeks. Louisville or Creighton, I could see giving them problems. I like Creighton in that game. I think they're perennially an underrated team going into this tournament. We know what Coach McDermott can do there. Yeah. And I don't know. It just wouldn't shock me if I'm looking at these one seeds and we look back and say, did one of them get picked off and should we have seen this coming? To me, you could make a case for any of them. Well, I say you can make a case for Duke because we don't want to know what Cooper Flagg's situation is. Although their 8-9 game is pretty favorable. We'll get to that in the East. I like Houston, although we mentioned Gonzaga being a little tricky. I don't think Florida's going to have any problems. I like Florida going real far in this thing. And then I say, is Auburn potentially a team that gets knocked out early? And we say, oh, yeah, I guess I'm not shocked by that. I don't know. I just keep coming back to that and wondering what that might look like. And then if you're Iowa State, I mean, this thing is wide open for you, right?
Mm-hmm. I really do think there's a wide open road for them to get to the Sweet 16. And then from there, it's all about matchups. You know, I think Louisville in the 8-9 game, I think they are really underseeded. I think they're about a seed or two better than that, if we're being honest. I mean, they were second in the ACC. They got to the ACC championship game, I think. And everybody's made a big deal of the fact that Clemson's a 5 and they're an 8. Louisville beat Clemson twice, once in the regular season and once in the ACC tournament. So I have no idea why, except they said, Bubba, our good buddy from North Carolina, said, well, Clemson beat Duke. Well, that's great, but Louisville beat Clemson twice. Come on.
Yeah.
Pay attention. That's your conference, I mean, by the way.
These guys are starting to look like the College Football Playoff Committee with what a joke that they become on some of these picks and just the inconsistencies all around.
I'll tell you what. I cannot remember her name, but the woman who's running the Women's Selection Committee, I caught her interview after that bracket came out, put on a clinic on how you explain all this stuff. Straightforward, knew what she was talking about, told you exactly why.
Can learn a lesson or two, no doubt about that. Yeah. Let's go to the East region. There are three Big 12 teams there. We have Baylor as the 9, we have Arizona as the 4, and we have BYU as the 6. Man, I know that BYU fans are still reeling from last year's first round ouster. This team is more diverse than that team in how they play and how they can win games. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you what, Matthew, first off, I thought the 6 seed was a seed lower than they would have been.
I believe it. I agree.
They got a tough draw with VCU, man. I mean, this is just the classic game where you say, gosh, really? The Power 5 team gets the draw of VCU, who's playing really good basketball, has some swagger, has some confidence, and, you know, has a really good head coach who's getting some looks for the higher level and the next level right now, and Ryan Notem.
Oh, yeah. And that program has a great track record of doing well in this tournament, going back to Shaka Smart when he was their head coach and took him to the Final Four. I mean, this is a program that understands how to play basketball in this tournament. I don't think it's as bad a matchup as you think it is, but it's not a great matchup. It's not the kind of matchup that I would expect in a 6-11 game for a team like BYU that won 13 of their last 15. I mean, they were surging into this tournament. And, you know, I think for them, you know, the thing that I liked about how they played in Kansas City is I thought they played very good defense. I think they, you know, put together an approach against Houston that, you know, if they had shot the ball better, I think would have worked. It's just, they had such a poor shooting, percentage in the first half, they just weren't able to catch up. But I like them to win, honestly, in that first round game. I think it's the second round game that's dangerous for them because this is one of the best offensive Wisconsin teams we've seen in quite some time.
That is a good point. You're right about that. That gets even trickier from there on out. Now, look at Arizona, and they've got Akron in the first round. Then it's a 5-12 matchup on the other side with Oregon or Liberty in that game. You know, Arizona gets itself to the Big 12 championship game. And I know that, you know, they're new to the Big 12, so we're a little new to Arizona, or at least getting to know them on an intimate level. And listen, we know history with this team in March is not good. I mean, they bust out early every freaking year, it feels like. So is this year going to be any different?
I think this Arizona-Akron game has the potential to actually be one of the best games of the first round. I really do. I think Arizona is playing really well coming into the NCAA tournament. Akron is led by a coach. It's John Grossi, I believe. He's taken them to the tournament two of the last 3 years, and they're incredible in the MAC just in terms of winning tournament games. So they're experienced in handling, you know, two, three straight games in a row. I think Arizona wins this game because I really liked the defensive adjustments that Arizona made in the first half against Houston. Now, Kelvin Sampson was able to neutralize those in the second half, but you know, Tommy Lloyd showed me he's got a few more defensive tricks up his sleeve in terms of the defense, and you know, showed me that he can make really good in-game adjustments defensively. So I like them winning this game. If for nothing else, I'd love to see them play Oregon, because I saw Oregon in December when my SFA Lumberjacks went up there for a road trip. We got stomped. I think Oregon's a really good team, but I feel like they're actually a really good matchup for Arizona. So I think if they can get past this first round game, I think they can get into the Sweet 16.
Okay. All right. So Akron kind of worries you more than their second round matchup does for Arizona.
I think they just match up so much better with Oregon. And I think Arizona's season in the Big 12, you know, having to learn that physical brand of basketball that maybe they didn't play as much of in the Pac-12, I think that's going to help them in that kind of a matchup in the second round.
Okay. All right. Now let's go to Baylor. Listen, Baylor's been banged up. They got Mississippi State in the 9-8 matchup. Winner plays Duke. We don't know what Cooper Flagg's status is going to be. Duke says he's playing, but I mean, is he stepping on the court? Is he playing? We don't really know. Baylor's been banged up all season. Is there a path where you say, hey, Flag's banged up? I mean, listen, Duke's still really good, even without Cooper Flagg. So I don't want to take anything away from the rest of those guys. But if you're trying to create a path for Baylor, can you justify a path to the second weekend right now, or can you just not get there? Your answer is no.
Yeah, but I want to hear. Here's the one way I think they could do it. Obviously, you got to beat Mississippi State. That's actually a big ask, because Mississippi State, I think, is probably the second best 8 seed here after Louisville. Then let's just say Cooper Flagg doesn't play in the first round. You know, Duke benches them because they're going to shoulder roll whoever they play. Flagg comes back after about a week, hasn't played, just practiced. Maybe he doesn't have his legs under him. Norchad Omir has another huge game. This guy's basically been a double-double for the last month and a half. He's played fantastic basketball. And then you get three of your guards to give you big games: Edgecombe, Wright, Jaden Nunn, one of their other guards. If Baylor could put together a highly efficient offensive game, shooting 55%, scoring 80, 85 points, then I think you got a chance.
Okay. All right. Well,
but I hate their draw, but I do hate their draw.
I do too.
They could just as easily lay an egg against Mississippi State, lose by 15 and be done.
I agree. I mean, I think that's entirely possible with this Baylor team. It's just they're in and they're out. So I look at the pathways to, let's say, a Final Four, and I look around the Big 12. I like the path for Houston. I think there's definitely a path for Iowa State. They've got the second easiest path in my eyes. I would put Tech at 3 and KU at 4. Because I'm still going to look at this Kansas team and say, if it just breaks right and they just get hot with that talent, the path is there for them. If they can get to a Sweet 16 and then pull off a couple of upsets after that. And then I'm going to say BYU, Arizona, and Baylor in that order. If I'm just saying the teams that I think in this league can ultimately get to the Final Four. But when all is said and done, if we get 2 teams, that would be huge. I feel good as you can feel about Houston right now as a 1 seed getting there. If you get 2, you're playing with house money, right? I don't know how likely that is with this team and some of the draws that we've talked about, but what do you make of how far you think some of these teams can ultimately get, or which teams you think will be most likely to get furthest in this tournament.
Well, I think Houston's a Final Four team. I feel like they have everything they need to do that. I would flip Tech and Iowa State. I'd make them two. I really like Tech's path. I like Iowa State's path too. I just like Texas Tech's path a little bit better because it sounds like both of their guards are going to be healthy. If Keshawn Gilbert were playing, I'd probably make them 2A and 2B.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
I just think not having Gilbert available is going to give them a ceiling of maybe the Sweet 16, maybe the Elite Eight if things break right. I don't think Kansas gets out of the first weekend. I'd take Arizona and BYU before I take Kansas. I have given up believing that Kansas can put it together for more than three or four games in a row because they have not been able to do it during Big 12 play. I don't think they're going to do it in the NCAA tournament.
That's fair. I mean, you're right. I mean, I'm a sucker saying that I think if they put it together, I said the same thing last week, and how did that work out? So yeah. You're absolutely right. It's just, man, you sit there and you say, if it just clicks, but we've said it for 4 months now, how much longer can you say it?
I said it after the UCF game when AJ Storr came off the bench and scored 17 points. I'm like, this is what they've been wanting from him for 4 months. And then the next night he scores nothing. And I'm like, yeah. You're right back where you started because you can't get any four. It's like one step forward and two steps back with this team all year.
You're right. It is. Well, it is going to be a great tournament. I cannot wait to be talking about it in the weeks ahead. So you're going to be all over it. You're going to be writing about it. And we are glad that you are here breaking it down with us, my man.
Absolutely. We got the women too, seven teams there. I think TCU's got a real shot at the Final Four, which just sounds absurd on its face. 2 years ago, they won one conference game. They have a team capable of getting to the Final Four. Baylor should probably get to the Sweet 16. Kansas State's got a really tough first round game against Fairfield. That is a really, really good team. And they've got one of the rising stars in coaching and forgot her name now. Tebow Dudonis. I can't remember her first name, but should be a great women's tournament too. You could have two or three teams get into the Sweet 16. I think Kansas State should have hosted, but oh well.
Yeah. Well, good stuff, man. Thank you for bringing up the women as well. And I think we've got the smallest town shout out of the night, and it goes to Avalon, Texas. Do you know where that is, Matthew?
I have no idea where. No, wait. Hang on. That's out in West Texas somewhere.
Nope. Just kind of due south of you. Right there, straight shot south on Dallas. Population 400. It is east of Italy, Texas, west of Bardwell, Texas.
Yes, I used to cover high school football in Corsicana, Italy. Actually, it's Italy. They do not pronounce the A. Learned that the hard way. But when I covered high school football in Corsicana in 1996, the Gladiators. Perfect.
There you go. Perfect. The Italy Gladiators. Is that right?
They got to the state semifinals that year, I believe.
Ah, very well done. A nice little fact for you as we put a bow on the show. So Italy, Texas, on the map, courtesy of Avalon, Texas, where we've got one of our viewers tonight. I love giving these shout outs. Kingwood, Texas, Springville, Utah, Edmond, Oklahoma. Shout out to Edmond. So good stuff all around. Petersburg, Texas, Story City, Iowa. Ontario's in the house. Hey, now up there to the north. How about that? All right. Well, Matthew, great stuff, man. I know people are going to be reading you on the website. Make sure you join the Heartland College Sports Forums. We are going to have a lot of action there. And that is where you can join our pool. Our March Madness bracket pool is going to be for those who are subscribed to the Heartland College Sports Forums. So make sure you get on there now. It's all free. It's going to be a great time. We're going to give away merch like, hang on here. You know where I'm going with this.
I think I do know where you're going with this.
Especially after what happened. Undefeated in hypothetical games, SEC shirt. So we'll give away some Heartland merch to the winners of our brackets. All right, man. Have a great day, Matthew. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate it.
He's Matthew Postens. I'm Pete Mundo. Make sure you are subscribed to the channel, and we will talk to you soon at heartlandcollegesports.com.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
You're a startup founder. Finding product market fit is probably your number one priority. But to land bigger customers, you also need security compliance. Obtaining your SOC 2 or ISO 27001 certification can open those big doors, but they take time and energy, pulling you away from building and shipping. That's where Vanta comes in. Vanta is the all-in-one compliance solution helping startups get audit ready and build a strong security foundation quickly and painlessly. Vanta automates the manual security tasks that slow you down, helping you streamline your audit. The platform connects you with trusted experts to build your program, auditors to get you through audits quickly, and a marketplace for essentials like pen testing. So whether you're closing your first deal or gearing up for growth, Vanta makes compliance easy. Join over 8,000 companies, including Y Combinator and Techstars startups, who trust Vanta. For a limited time, get $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/simplify. That's VANTA.com/simplify for $1,000 off.